This is way long while ago. I mean, way long time ago. I was an unpaid youth pastor at a small Baptist church in Gower, Missouri. And I had taken upon this thing of there had to be more. I knew there was more, but I didn't know what more was. So I was going to be radical and fast. That's just, that wasn't in our nomenclature at the time. You know, I just, and so I got a day off and I went to a park in St. Joe and I fasted. I was going to fast for a whole day. And I know, but then when you've never done it, a whole day seems like a long time. And so I loaded up books and notebooks and all this kind of stuff and drove to the park and got there before they opened at 6 and the guy let me in and it was cool. And I'm going to find God. Well, about 10 in the morning, I had this headache so bad that I couldn't see straight. And I'm rebuking the devil and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then I realize I drink tea. I don't drink coffee because it doesn't work with my stomach. But tea has the same amount of caffeine in it as coffee does. And I'd never had a day where I didn't drink tea in the morning, so I didn't realize I was hooked on caffeine. This came to my realization. And I'm, I want my mother. You know, I mean, that was hurting. And the Lord told me, it's the, just drink your water. And I said, I'm not leaving here until I hear from heaven. And at 4:30, I still hadn't heard anything. And I was not happy, and I was hungry and felt bad. And then these verses popped into my eyes. I don't know where they were. They're in John chapter 14. Had them underlined. But this came out. And he says, Jesus says in verse 29 of John 14, now I've told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may believe. That didn't work. But he says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. Jesus calls the devil the ruler of the world. And he has nothing in me. Man, if you don't have that underlined, underline that. But in order that, or so that, the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me, get up and let's go. And this came off of the page to me like neon, because I was only doing 180 degrees from what Jesus did, very close. Because I was trying to prove to people that God loved them, and of course that's good and right, and he does. But that's not what he did. He said, I do what I do to prove to the world that I love the Father. That was his method of operation. That was his motive. That's what got him up in the morning. That's why he did what he did. And I said, I've never heard that before like that. And so I went back to my little Baptist church youth group, and they'd never heard that before, but they started to get it. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. Honestly, I've had kids interrupting me, telling me, Pastor John, I need to get saved. And I said, listen, I'm not done yet. I've got to kill her clothes. And the thing just went. Oof. And so I've promised the Lord I would never stand in front of a group of people for the first time without being able to say, I am my beloved's and he is mine. And I want to do the things he did the way he did them, which is to prove to the world that I love him. And when you do that, people just get that he loves them. Okay, that's free. I did my part. I told him that's what I'd do, and I did it. I want to talk to you about healing today, but I want to talk to you about healing and the harvest. And if you've not connected those things, maybe I can help you connect those things today. I put on an outline. If you picked one up, you can get it. If not, you'll just have to listen to me read it. But this is the Lord's heart for healing. And this is from the Weiss New Testament. He was the head of the Greek department at Moody Bible Institute. And this is how he wrote a New Testament translation. So from this translation, Matthew 8, the first three verses. And it's a little wordy, so I'll go slow. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed with him, and behold, a leper, having come and fell upon his knees, touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, isn't that a great way to put it? In the event you may be having a heartfelt desire, you are able to cleanse me. Now, he's a leper, and he's out here in the crowd. He's not even supposed to be there. And he's really, he's now coming to the rabbi, the teacher, and he's breaking all the rules. But he has leprosy. He said, "You're able to cleanse me." And having stretched out his hand, he touched him, saying, "I am desiring it from all my heart. Be cleansed at once." And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. Healing is not a secondary issue to the Lord. He said, "I want to see people healed with all my heart." And I want to tell you, that's me too. Me too. And so he does this. Now, you know, if it was our day, he'd have an 800 number and satellite television. But the issue is this. You see, the leper was appealing to the desire of his heart. Somehow he'd figured out that's what was ticking in Jesus' heart. He really wants to do that because his name, his word, and his nature are healer. And he got a sniff of it. And he said, "I'm going to throw myself on the ground before this guy because I'm only a leper. All they're going to do is send me to a leper's colony. That's where I came from. But I'm going to risk the fact that I think I know what he's like." And Jesus goes, "Yeah, you're right." This is tremendous. I love the way that that's worded. But for me, I had an encounter with a passage in the book of Luke that kind of loaded my gun. If I can say this. So Luke chapter 5, we'll begin the verse 15. This is where Jesus is teaching and the Pharisees come to catch him and try to trick him. Verse 15 says, "But the news about him," Jesus, "was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing." Now that may not sound like much to you, but that looked like a passport to me, because it doesn't depend if you have the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. It doesn't depend that there's an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist present. It says the power, presence of the Lord was there, powerful to perform healing. And anytime I do anything like that, I always pray this over the person or over the congregation that way, because if the power of the Lord is present to perform healing, none of those other things are essential. Yes. It don't hurt to have those things. But do you understand what I'm saying? And when I heard that, I thought, that's wonderful, because that was in Luke 5:17. And so I'm just saying, this might help you. If you're praying for somebody, just say, "Lord, you said, Luke 5:17, that there was power present." Now, just think about this. I don't want to get real theological because I don't have a lot of time. But it probably means that that same power wasn't always present as evidentially as it was that day, because it's being written down. The power of the Lord was so present that the writer could see it. Are you with me? Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't care. I want to pray in to this God who never changes, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he can manifest himself in healing in Luke chapter 5 like that, he can do it here with you and with me. Yes. And my confidence is in his power to be present, not for me to be super clever or super anointed, though I'm pulling for both. But my confidence is in this forever settled word, Luke 5:17. It can't change. He doesn't change. His heart, like we looked at in Matthew 8, "I desire to heal you with all my heart," hasn't changed. So we ought to be seeing different results. Yes. All right, is that good? Don't throw things. I'm going to buy you donuts. Don't be mad. But when I read that, something went in me like that. And I said, I have new confidence. I've prayed for lots and lots and lots and lots of people. And some of them have got well. And I always tell people, let's be real. Some of them get well, and I still bury people. Now, that's real, isn't it? I had someone come to my office one time, and I'd prayed for somebody just very recently, and something pretty cool happened. They got well, and this person came to me and said, "Hey, I'm not going to have my stage 4 cancer operated. I've canceled the operation." I didn't really know this guy, and I said, "Well, I didn't tell you to do that. And he said, yes, but the Lord told me that you were a healer and I'm going to come and I'm going to get healed. I looked him in the eye and I said, dude, you are in the right place at the right time. I'm batting 1,000. You are? And I said, yeah, I've never healed anybody and I never ever will. That didn't encourage his faith. But that's real, isn't it? That's true. We are not the agent of healing. We are the instrument of healing. And many years ago, I won't go into it, but the Lord arrested me and caught my attention. He said, I want to see you. And I want to see you in the ministry of healing. But I don't want you to see you in the healing ministry. And I knew what he meant. And so the whole issue is kind of desensationalizing the supernatural and bringing the power of the supernatural. How many of you know it's supernatural for people to get healed?
Yes.
Right? I was in a meeting, whatever day it was, Wednesday, a lady had what I call a hellbender headache. And I don't think that's really probably in the medical journals, but it's one of those where your eyes are getting bad, you know. There are a number of reasons you can have a headache like that. And I'm not very smart. I'd never met this person before, but I piped up and I said, oh, the Lord gave me a little anointing for the headaches. He did? And I said, yeah. Yeah, I was at a funeral. This is 30 years ago, whatever. And there was an elderly man, older than I am, so you know he was an elderly man. And he was sitting in this little foyer by where the bathrooms were, not inside where the funeral was going on. And he just looked horrible. So I went over to him and said, sir, are you okay? And he said, that's my grandson we're burying today. He said, and my headache's so bad, I can't even go out there. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And is it okay if I, okay. And I did this. I just put my hand, I'd seen Pat Robertson do it. So I put I'm fresh out of a Baptist church, come on. And we didn't do this. And I put my hands on her head and the Lord spoke to me. Just as clear as a bell, he said, you command that headache to break in half right now and drain out of that body like you drain power out of a battery. And before the hour is over, it'll be completely gone. And I prayed exactly what I said. Broke like that. And the guy says, it's gone. I said, well, that's how it always works. And it was, because it's the only time I'd ever done it. That's how it works. And I thought, cool. I mean, but I thought, well, why only half? Why not the whole thing? But he knows me, and I could probably only have faith for half or something. But and I shared this story because this is so funny. I knew nothing about this. I prayed for somebody in a pastor's meeting one time, told that little story real quick because I didn't know the person. And, you know, they don't trust you and know you, so you wouldn't. And this happened. Well, there was another guy, Presbyterian guy, listening to this. And this is, 20 years ago or something. And I didn't even remember him being there, to be totally candid. And then 6 or 8 years ago, I'm in there was a known healing person in town, and I was invited to a meeting for pastors to go to that. And this guy gives up, and he said, well, I don't know about you, but I learned everything I know about healing from John. And I thought, I never met with you in my life. But he'd heard me tell that story. He just repeated it. And he's working with missionaries overseas with Presbyterian pastors and missionaries. And he said, I just did what you said. And every time I do what you said, it worked. And I thought, well, of course. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord is present to perform healing. And it does present with you. Doesn't that be present with me? I'm counting on it being present with me. But do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't like there's this special thing. No. This is for you because you want to see people get well. Are we good?
Yes.
So, see, this is the issue, I think, and it's an instrument, when I say it, healing is an instrument of harvest. And the Lord talked to me, it was a long time ago, saying, I want you to have as a thumbprint and for your people to have as a thumbprint my thumbprint on you to see healing for the sake of evangelism. And so that's been my fire and stir. So why am I saying that? Because I think it gets left out. And we've sensationalized the healing thing to a point somewhere. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'll criticize me. I don't do it right all the time. But I'm telling you, this Luke 5:17 thing is like a lever, because it puts it in his hands, not just in mine. Now, you got to believe. So, and I've never seen anybody get up out of a wheelchair to stay. And somebody asked me, well, have you ever prayed for somebody in a wheelchair? And I said, yeah, lots of times. And a couple have gotten up, but they didn't get up to stay. So what does that mean? I'll know. I mean, I don't know. Because I tell you, the same anointing that heals the headache raises the dead. Because it's the same God. Yes. Now, the need is different. Are we okay?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not done yet, so. You may be finished, but I'm not done. So, just think about it. Next time you read Luke chapter 5, see if that doesn't jump out at you a little bit and make a difference. Matthew chapter 9, and I'll go a little quicker. Jesus was going through, this is verse 35, Jesus was going through cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Okay, now this is where, and it said, this is where every place he went, that's what he was doing. All right? And I've heard this taught on many times. I haven't heard this connected to it. If you had, I just was in the wrong place and you were in the right place. But here's what he says. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That's always about evangelism and missionaries. You never hear that connected with healing. But he went every place that he went, he healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. And we're sending people out without a toolbox that's full of tools. These tools were in the toolbox. I'm sorry. I'm not yelling at you. I just get excited. If the babies wake up, I can't help it. But do you understand what I'm saying? We don't apply the whole context of the passage to sending people. And we ought to send people who at least have the passion to see people get healed. And hopefully some training, instruction, and anointing to see it happen. If you think I'm overstating that, I have the mic. So I'm not. But you've got to see that. It's part of what he says when you're praying for the harvesters. We're looking for people who will go and share the gospel and the teaching and the preaching, and that they would believe for people to be healed of every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. Years ago, I got the chance to speak in a Nazarene seminary, and I got to talk for a whole week to missionaries about demons. They weren't the demons, you know. But because they're in other countries and facing other powers and didn't know what to do with it. And I told him, I said, guys, you guys are like people in an airplane who don't have a parachute. Every once in a while, you got to jump here, you know, and not equipped. And so I just told stories about times I'd been in situations where people got delivered. And they were very encouraged that could happen. And I told them, I said, if I could do it, anybody can do it. Well, they believed that part. But see, and they were sent into the harvest without the right tools to do it. I'm driving in Pennsylvania one day, doing a Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Amish people and all that kind of stuff. I was there to do a wedding. Had a guy with me, and we're driving down the road, and here are these guys out in the wheat fields with sickles and scythes and that kind of stuff, with long-sleeve white shirts rolled up, sweating their eyebrows off. It's like 90 degrees. And I hit the brakes. Fortunately, there wasn't anybody behind me because I wasn't paying any attention. And I said, look at that! That's the church! He goes, no, that's a wheat field. I said, you don't get it. They lack power tools. And you could have buzzed that field with a combine in an hour. And so many times we get in situations and we lack power tools. Am I doing okay? Oh, see, but Jesus put them in the box. They're in his toolbox. He did it all the time. Are you with me? And then he said, as I am, so are you in this world. So send I you. Okay? Power tools. So I looked at that and I thought, oh, that may be the reason I came to do this wedding. Just to see that. Luke chapter 14. I'm pretty close to done for those of you who are optimistic. I'm having fun today because this is like you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. You squeeze me, this is what comes out. Luke 14, verse 16. He said to him, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of land. I've got to go look at it. Well, of course you do. Another one said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Well, that's a lie because he made his servants try out the oxen. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife and she won't let me go. And the slave came back and reported this to the master. And then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, master, what you have commanded has been done. And there's still room. Man, let that get you. Let that get you. There's still room. He's wanting a full house. And there's still room. He doesn't shut anybody out. And the master said to the slave, go into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in to my house, that my house may be filled. I want the house filled. And he said, now I want to send workers into the harvest to get the house filled. Shortage of workers. The big dinner is set. Probably the marriage supper of the Lamb, we want to do this. And he's wanting people to come, and people have all sorts of excuses. And then he said, okay, you invited them, and now you went out and got the undesirables, what I call the striped, spotted, and speckled, and the black sheep. And he said, there's still room in the house. No, you're not done. Go compel them to come in. I think what compels them to come in is every sickness and every disease and every illness being cured. Because the invitation to get something, the big dinner, wasn't doing it. And he brought them all in, but they were still lame, halt, deaf, and blind. He said, now take the compelling evidence and go get them. I think healing for the sake of evangelism just might be the compelling evidence. Listen, you pray for grandma and she pops out of that wheelchair. That whole stinking family is in church Sunday, I guarantee. They may not like it. They may be hungover. But grandma's out of the wheelchair doing charismatic two-step, and I'm telling you, she's making an influence on people. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. Inner healing is vitally important. We have classes and all that kind of stuff. But listen, what Jesus used a lot of times was stuff that people could see. See, when that leper got clean, he stood up and said, da-da! When the blind man gets well, he says, I don't know. Yesterday I was in darkness. Today I see. You guys figure out the theology. I can see. See, when broken bones and bad limbs and blind eyes and deaf ears get opened and can see, people have to deal with the reality of this God being present to perform healing right here, right now, with us. Are we okay? It doesn't say, listen to me, the Bible does not clearly say that the compelling evidence is healing. But by inference, it's really there. Because he said, I still want the house filled. And you haven't used all the tools. So go compel them. Well, what were they going to do? Bribe them? Give them Royals tickets? I mean, what, you know? What are you using to get them to respond? Oh, the blind see. John the Baptist is in jail and he sends his disciples to Jesus. Are you sure you're the right guy? Because I read the story and it didn't have me being in jail. So I'm wondering if this is the right thing. And they said, well, you just go tell them the lame are healed, blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what he said. Here's the proof that the kingdom has come. Here's the proof that I'm the kingdom. And I'm not trying to stretch this. I'm preaching now, okay? It doesn't mention the best theology or the most correct doctrine. All important. But that's not what he used as a proof text to say, I'm the one, you can tell it's me. Why? Because I'm leaving evidence on the scene. And when people are sick and they get well, that's the evidence on the scene. I've been praying for several years now, this statement that the Lord gave me is the confluential flow of the evidential presence of God. Confluential, lots of us, different kinds, streams coming together. Evidential, there's something that wasn't there that is there, or there's something that was there that's gone, and we can prove it. Gives proof. John chapter 14, I have it there. I'm not going to read it because it'll take more time. But Jesus tells his guys, these are his guys now. Listen, guys, if you haven't got this yet, if you can't figure out that I'm in God and God's in me, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and then it's going to be I'm in you and you're in me. That's how this is going to work. If you can't get that, believe because of the works I do. That's the evidence. So he's telling his own disciples, if you haven't got the theology thing working, really haven't figured the mystery out yet, Pentecost is coming. Don't worry about it. He didn't say that, but that's what's going to happen. But he said, check out what's happening. Like we told John's guys, blind see, deaf hear, lame walk, and the poor are touched. See, I just think we can't ignore it. Now, here's what I think. I think people don't preach a lot and teach a lot about healing or practice it a lot because you can't make it happen. Right? You know? I mean, you can advertise and do a bunch of stuff and maybe fill a place up. It's hard to keep it filled up if you don't, you know, if the Lord's not. But if the Lord's doing stuff, you go, yeah, like that. Right? And not only that, you suppose that, what, you know what that leper did in Matthew 8 when he got healed? Well, he went home for the first time in a long time. And he said, I'm clean. I mean, like I'm clean. He went to the Lions Club and the VFW. I mean, all the places that you would hang out, you know what I mean? The social sectors, and said, I can come back in. Jesus made me clean. And he went to the priest and showed himself to the priest. That's what you have to do. Well, now he's back in church. They'll let him back in because he was ostracized because of the lepers. Word of mouth travels. Why? Because there's evidence. You don't have to say, well, I was selfish and I'm not selfish anymore. Prove it. I had regret and shame. Prove it. It works now. You can prove it. It works now. You can prove it. I think this is one of the things that's been left out of the church in the Western world. Well, does it mean that nobody gets healed? No, it just means it doesn't happen the way that we see it happening in the book that we read. And since he doesn't change, who moved? You know? Really? And so there's one other thing I want to read to you because I skipped as much as I could. I see four tools of harvest. They're written in the outline. First one is accurate and empowered preaching and teaching. Second one, authentic compassion. Jesus had compassion on them and healed everyone who was sick. Thirdly, prophetic prayer and intercession. I bet that mama with that boy with leprosy had been praying for that boy for a long time. And then healing for the sake of evangelism. I think that's the other tool. So there's you need to be reading the book and speaking what it says. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Anointed. We need compassion birthed in us so that we do care and we will share. Right? I mean, that's not an insignificant issue. We need people praying, when I say prophetically, hearing what the Lord's saying and saying it and praying it with him. Divine intervention. Cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Most of the time, what's proceeding forth from the mouth of God is what he's saying about what he's already said. But it's the nowness of it. The nowness of it. The present tense word, the one that's proceeding forth from the mouth of God. And he says, you can't live without it. And you can tell, if you didn't feed people food, you could tell they wouldn't be living too well, right? If we're not getting this manna, this everything that proceeds forth from the mouth of God, he says, you can't live without it. Well, there are signs that show up in people's lives when they're not getting it because you can't live without it. Did I make too much of that? If I did, I got the mic, I can say what I want. But I want you to see this. These are things that work when you're healing, praying for people. Word of knowledge is a real important thing, being able to hear what the Lord's saying about it, what he's doing. Bang, it happens. I was speaking at a church in Warrensburg, Missouri, and I was telling a story about a word of knowledge, I was preaching on spiritual gifts, and I said, there was this guy, and I was late. Imagine that. It was on a Sunday, and I was late, and I needed to get home, and I'd already told Kathy, I was 35 minutes past the time I told her I'd be home, and so somebody had brought a visitor to church, I thought, because I'd not met him, and we were, you know, this is like an hour after the service, so we've been praying for people and all this kind of stuff, and so, Jeff, I'm going to use you, sorry. Because I'm going to hit you, and I didn't want to do that to you. So I went up to this guy, and he's putting this big leather jacket on, and I popped him on the arm like that, and I said, dude, it's a long, long way from Schenectady, isn't it? And he looked at me, and he goes, how did you know I was from Schenectady? I said, I can't even spell it. And he broke down, and he was a pastor running from God. It was trying to just get away. He's all the way to, how would you get to Warrensburg from Schenectady? I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, he was in my church in Kansas City, and I did that. And I'm telling this story in Warrensburg. This couple sitting right here, or Ruth and Jeff are. And all of a sudden, they just start wailing. And I thought, maybe their house burned down in Schenectady. I don't know. I couldn't figure out. And the guy finally looked up at me, and he said, We're here from Schenectady. And we felt like we're supposed to come here because the Lord was going to talk to us and tell us what's next. And if I hadn't have told that story, but see, the power of the Lord is present to perform healing. And they'd been broken and hurt, and the church had been, you know, ugly to them and stuff. And bang, it just happened. So what I'm saying is, somebody had been praying for those people too. But I had other stories I could have told. I told that one because I thought it was short. Well, then it took forever, you know. I was really late again. But I had an excuse. I had to drive back from Warrensburg. So what I'm trying to get at is that the Lord wants to speak and wants to see us healed, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, these kids didn't need physical healing. Neither did the guy from Schenectady. But they needed a touch from the Lord. And I want to get better at producing and releasing that touch from the Lord. I told you I was connecting this with harvest, right? You can see that Jesus did. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 9 and we'll quit. 9:1. You hear this at Christmas time, so it's familiar to you. But there will be no more gloom for who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea and on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. I tell you, if somebody's blind and they get healed, they're walking in darkness and they'll see a great light. Even if they're walking in discouragement and depression and they get touched, they'll see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. I heard Gabe talk to us today about being the light of the world. That's right. You shall multiply the nation. Expanse. You shall increase their gladness. And they will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest. As men rejoice as they divide the spoil. He said, there's a gladness that comes with harvest. And I'm telling you, he said, pray for to the Lord of the harvest to send out harvesters and let him do what we've been doing, which is preaching and teaching the anointed gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. How are we doing? And see, there's a gladness that comes. How many of you know church lacks joy every once in a while? Oh, and Christians do, because that makes the church like it. What about a celebration of gladness where we have to take some time and just talk about the people who've been healed from sicknesses? And we have to, because it's everywhere. Why? We're compelled to tell. Why? Because that compelling is what brings the increase and the multiplication that he's talking about here. And see, he blames this on Jesus. Verse 4, you shall break the yoke of the burden of the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. Verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there'll be no end to the increase of his government or his peace, and on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's not your zest, it's his zeal. And what does it produce? Gladness. Well, I'm in for that. And he says, it's gladness is associated with harvest. More than when the wine, you know, and the grain are all over the place from harvest. It's that kind of gladness. Now, part of it is the person getting healed is pretty darn glad. But the person doing the praying, there's no disappointment in that either. Are you with me? So I think we need to recognize and that one of the things the Lord wants to do is to produce that atmosphere where it's easy for people to get well. Very few people struggled to get well where he was. Presence of the King brought the power. Power is in the presence. Power of the Lord present to perform healing. Gladness. Harvest. Those who are in darkness see a great light. Multiplication, great increase. The only comparison of it is with the gladness of harvest. It's all a result of the presence of the King. And there's no end to the increase. No end to the increase of his government, that's his lordship, and of his peace. The gladness of harvest is another compelling element. Harvest is the outworking of the heart of our compassionate King. I love that statement. Harvest is the outworking of the heart of our compassionate King. The last thing I wrote down, Lord, cause us to be those who obey with what we have and believe for what we need. Oh God, cause your zeal to be upon this house. Father, thank you for being with us this morning. We open up our toolbox. We pray you would place this zeal that's in you to see people healed. This heart that's in you says, I want it with all my heart. And I pray you would infuse and impart to us this capacity for healing. So people get saved. Lord, I say it over and over and over in my seemingly all the time, but we want to see people who are saved get healed. We want to see people who need to get healed and saved to get saved and healed and saved, whichever way it works. But we don't want to separate the fact that when you did it, when you were in the harvest field, this touch of healing had so much to do with the outcome. We'd love to see a different outcome, Lord. Jason prayed for us when we started this morning. Oh, Lord, transform us. Cause us to walk out of here with something that we didn't walk in here with. And Lord, I pray you would release this sense, this unction, this compassion for healing in each of us and in all of us. And I pray you would give us a newfound courage, because we have this platform of Luke 5:17 saying the power of God was present to perform healing. here, anywhere we go, any of us, all of us, any of us, all of us. Now look up at me for a minute. If you would like to be prayed for today, if you have a physical element of issue of health, would you just get up and stand in the aisle? If nobody does, we'll go on. But if you'd like to be prayed for, if you would just stand in the aisle, and people will let you out. Now listen to me. You will notice it wasn't just apostles and prophets who were praying for people in what I'm talking about. He sent the 12, he sent the 70, he sends us. He says, as you are, as I am, so are you in this world. So could we get people to surround these people who are standing? And if you're standing to be prayed, would you lift your hand up high enough so that people can know that that's why you're there? You can have one person, four people, it doesn't matter. If you'd like to be a prayer, be a prayer. Now, I'm no expert here, but I want to tell you this. Jesus didn't say, go pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick.
Yes.
So when you pray, speak to the body part that's messed up or speak to the ailment.
Yes.
And command the difference. Lord, we believe that you are who you say you are and you do what you say you do. And as these people surround those who have ailments, Lord, we pray that the power of the Lord will be present to perform healing, just like it says in Luke chapter 5:17. Release an anointing, an unction that breaks the yoke of sickness off of people, separates it from them and them from it. In the name of Jesus, come, Lord. Let this be a new day. You just pray. Thank you, Lord.